This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta A. Stars. Most of us shy away from looking into that dark closet that contains our family skeletons. So did journalist Karen Brannon, until she could no longer look away. Brannon is the author of The Family Tree, A Lynching in Georgia, A Legacy of Secrets, and My Search for the Truth.
The big jolt was a lynching that I had no knowledge of, that I had never heard mentioned in my family as a lynching. There were hints of things that, looking back on it, point to that, but at the time, I had no idea that this had happened. In near midnight on January 22nd, 1912, a group of men, estimates range from 50 to 100, many of them blood kinfolk of mine, took four African Americans out of the Hamilton, Georgia jail and lynched them beside the baptismal font of an African American Baptist church in Hamilton, Georgia. One of the victims was a woman, Dusky Crutchfield, and she would be the first woman of record to be lynched in Georgia. Three were men. They were all farmers. One was also an AME preacher. Later learned that one of the men, the youngest man, 21-year-old Johnny Moore, was a member of my family going back to slavery days, which actually were only 50 years earlier than this occurred. So all of this, I learned many, many other things. I learned that there were many murders of white on white within my family in the decade following the lynching. I had done an oral history with my maternal grandmother. I called her Gamama, and she still lived in Hamilton, Georgia. And I did a long interview with her and taped it. And at the end of the talk, I said to her, "What's your most unforgettable memory?" And without batting an eye, she said, "The hanging." And I said, "What was that?" And she said, "Well, they took a woman and some men out, and they hanged them downtown. And I was young, and I was told not to go, but everyone else was going. So I went, and I've never gotten over it." Well, the way she told that story, I questioned her a little bit, and it all sounded like a legal execution. She didn't mention that the victims were black. She called them shiners. Which some of them were, and I just imagined that they were all white, that they had been tried. I thought it was a little bizarre that they were hanged out of doors where people could see. I thought it was bizarre that a woman was hanged. I'd never heard about that. But I didn't check into it at the time. 2 years later, my high school age, he was a senior in high school, son. We were living in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He had grown up around African Americans. I had been working on civil rights issues all my adult life. He comes home with his African American girlfriend, and they tell me they're going to have a child. Well, I became very fearful and very anxious about that, and I still had racist relatives living in Georgia. I knew they would be horrified. I feared that they would disown us. But it was deeper than that. It was much deeper than that. I began to have terrible nightmares and to imagine things that were really irrational. I became very irrational. I thought I became irrational. Mm-hmm. But I knew that I needed to do something about that. And I had a vision in my bedroom on Capitol Hill in Washington, April 1993. I was somewhere between sleep and wakefulness, and I felt that there was a ghost in the room, that there was an African-American woman who was not alive, who was lying at the end of my bed, and who was saying to me without words, "Go home, find out what happened."
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta A. Stars. I asked Brannon what we can all do to help close the racial divide.
One thing we can do is learn an honest history. We white people really need to educate ourselves about American history as it pertains to non-white people. And, you know, one of the most honest expressions of that honest history is the new Smithsonian Museum of African American History and Culture, which is just magnificent in that way because it has managed to take the cold, hard truth of how African Americans have been treated by white people in this country, not all white people, but many of us, and state it in such a way that I think it's going to be palatable to large numbers of people who have sort of avoided this history in the past. So much damage has been done in the past that most whites, many whites, fear retribution, or they just feel so damn guilty.
Yeah.
Or they've made up a lot of rationale about, you know, well, it's just your fault, and, you know, let bygones be bygones. This is the biggest argument. Don't, you know, we don't need to go there. This just causes trouble. Just get on with your life. It's almost like for the first time in my life, I'm able to look black people in the eye and see them as human beings instead of being at a distance, because it's that unacknowledged past and the possibility of our ancestors' roles in that, you know, evil roles in that past, I think that keeps a lot of us at a distance. And I'm not just talking about people, you know, that are from the South or from a place where there were racial crimes going on and, you know, probably know that their people were probably involved. I think in some ways this kind of separation has occurred among all of us in this country. And it's not just black and white. You know, we are now many, many of the people that voted for Trump are saying, you know, they're talking about fear of the immigrants. And, you know, I mean, that's a racist
right.
thing, too.
Yes.
But it's not an African-American thing. But, you know, there's just this fear of the other that white people have. And some of that is, I believe, because we are, as a psychologist friend of mine says, our days are numbered. As white people, we are diminishing. And I
right.
think, you know, in some ways, the cells are screaming for rescue or something. And, you know, these are things that we need to face, that we need to talk about. And, you know, another thing that's going on in this country that I find is exciting and I'm a little bit a part of is a group called Standing Up for Racial Justice, which was formed kind of in parallel to Black Lives Matter, but it's all white people who work as allies for Black Lives Matter, but also who are taking stock of themselves and really examining our racism and all the ways that that plays out. Because racism is it's not just, you know, people who say the N-word. It's much more complicated and subtle, all this business of implicit bias. And, you know, a lot of people who I actually, when I got into this research, I really, if you had asked me, are you a racist, I would have said not in any way. And by the time I was done, if you had said, are you a racist, I would say, yes, I am, you know, in ways that I had no idea that, you know, that I was. It's really not possible to live in this country, a country that is entirely based on white supremacy, and that's starting to get dismantled a little bit, but we're not anywhere close to there. And it's impossible to live and not, you know, and not see things through white eyes or in a white frame of reference. I know there are people that will take issue with that, but that's, you know, just where I am right now.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Karen Brannon, the author of The Family Tree, A Lynching in Georgia, A Legacy of Secrets, and My Search for the Truth. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.